We couldn't get the connection right last time, but fingers crossed. Let's just see. Let's go straight to it. Are you there, Jennifer?
Hello, Selena, you foxy woman. I'm here, girl. I'm here.
Wonderful. To our listeners, it is Jennifer Otter Bickerdike again, and we're talking about the book Being Britney. Now, since we last spoke, Jennifer, of course, she has since won her conservatorship, which was with her dad. It was after 13 years. Tell us a bit about that.
Can you believe how much has changed? I think it was like less, maybe even a week ago we tried to talk the first time. And wow, what a difference a week makes.
So happy for her.
So happy for her. And she is busting out all over the place. But obviously for 13 years, Britney was in a conservatorship, which it was two different kinds of conservatorship. There was a personal conservatorship, which meant she could make none of her own decisions, whether that be financial decisions, decisions as to her business, decisions as to who or where or when she was going to go places, who she was going to hang out with. We even have found out recently that she was being surveillance by her dad. Can't say that word, too much caffeine. So she was just on complete and utter lockdown and had less rights than really a child for 13 years. And then also her estate. So what I was saying before about the business thing, her monies and finances, she could not spend her money, could not have access to any of that kind of decision-making power that you think someone of her stature would be able to do.
Yeah.
So what she was actually freed from, Selena, was both of those, but taking effect immediately on that Friday was her personal freedom. So that's why we're seeing now like the different tweets that are going out and the different Instagram posts where she's calling people out for the first time in 13 years. The estate part is she is technically freed of that, but it's going to take a lot longer to untangle 13 years of dubious, in a lot of ways, deals that Jamie Spears and TriStar, her management company, made on her behalf.
And do you understand, Jennifer, why it took so long? I mean, I get in the first place, 13 years ago, she was quite a troubled figure, and it was probably initially for her own good. But 13 years later, it doesn't seem right.
You know what's absolutely fascinating is I was reading on the June 22nd, which is June 23rd, is when she made that absolutely powerful statement in the court where she spoke for the first time and spoke about what she'd been going through. But on June 22nd, so we're talking this year, like not even 6 months ago, Britney called 911, which is the emergency number in America, and a sheriff came to her house and he said, "Why have you not done anything in 13 years?" And she said to him, "I can do something." So I think she was so cut off, Selena, like literally so cut off from everything. It's hard for us to even understand that. But if you don't have a phone, you don't gas poor or have the internet, you don't have anybody around you that you can trust or ask these questions of, that she had no access to any. All I can think is she had no access to information as to what to do. And because her children are so important to her, I think they were dangled over her in terms of if you don't comply, then the kiddies are going to get taken away from you.
Yes. Shocking. Well, we started to talk about the fact that she has been in the media a lot as a troubled figure. And you were saying quite rightly, because I've been reading so much about her since then, you know, she is massive. She's so successful. Brand Britney, perfumes, music, acting, all sorts. And yet we don't really see that in the media. It seems very unfair.
Oh, so girl, you're speaking my language. I mean, do you know what was really funny is when I was writing Being Britney, I had to obviously watch the one Britney movie, which is Crossroads. And I can tell you this, girl, I was not looking forward to it. I was like, oh, Lord. And, you know, I was like, this is going to be horrific.
Yeah.
I was blown away by the movie. Britney was fantastic in it. This is a movie from the mid-2000s. And of all the movies that Britney Spears, the biggest pop star at that moment of time, could make, she made a movie that was talking about date rape, that was talking about abandonment, that was just talking about all these very real issues that women and girls face then, now, before. We weren't talking about these things then. And Britney Spears picked that movie to do. I watched her on different shows like Will and Grace, which was a popular sitcom. She is hilarious. And I did it. And I went into it going, oh, this is just going to be, you know, craptacular. I was so surprised. And what I'm worried is going to happen is what you were just pointing out. Like when she went into the conservatorship, the media circus around Britney, that's what we were what we were all like tuning in for. Like, what is she going to do next? Like, oh, what's it's almost like a David Copperfield, like he's making the Statue of Liberty disappear. Like, what's the crazy thing Britney's going to do next? I almost feel like we're in that situation now. It isn't like what amazing creative thing is she going to do, but what media stunt is going to happen. And that's what worries me about where we are now with Britney.
Yeah, because they could bring her down again very easily, couldn't they?
Oh, so Leah, you are saying such good things. That's exactly it. I mean, I think it was a day or two after the conservatorship ended, the Daily Mail here, even the words that they use, it had, the Daily Mail had, Britney Spears goes for a joyride in her car. Now, when I think joyride, like if you're of a certain vintage, like I am, sis, I think of the scene in Ferris Bueller where the two guys have the sports car and they're like, flying off at speeds that one should not be going at. It's something dangerous. It's something you shouldn't be doing. And to use the word joyride, it makes it seem like Britney's doing something bad. So even the verbiage we're using, I think we have to look at that and look at the way we're presenting her. And even, you know, reporting on her interactions with Lady Gaga or Christina, there's a chapter in Being Britney where I talk about how there was that whole quote-unquote rivalry between Christina Aguilera and Britney, and how that really set up a dangerous precedent, I think, between girls, you know, young girls that were looking up to both those pop stars, of it's natural and good to have a, you know, to hate on other women that are your peers. And we're kind of seeing that start up again already. I'm like, let's look at the other things that Britney is doing. Let's look at some of the positive creative outputs that she might be able to do instead of these petty little things.
Yeah.
So that does worry me a little bit, because if she just slips up a tiny bit, Selena, like you said, everything she's doing is being very much watched.
Yeah, it'll be such a shame. I really hope that it goes well for her. But going back, saying about Christina Aguilera, she obviously was with her when she was a youngster, something like 13, I think, you might correct me there, in the Mickey Mouse Club. Was it her parents, was it Jamie and Lynn Spears that pushed her into fame, or did she want to do it?
You know, the mythology is that Britney was actually at elementary school, and one of her friends in the school cafeteria came to Britney and was like, look at the Mickey Mouse Club is doing auditions. And Britney talked her mother into driving, I believe it was 500 miles to the audition. To audition for the first time for the Mickey Mouse Club. So definitely Britney has this inner drive to succeed. And, you know, when I was writing the book, I have to say, I don't know if I would have been able to survive, Selena, the stuff she's been through. You know, like the media scrutiny, the abandonment of her parents, the way her family's, everything. Like, she has an absolute core of steel to be able to have done what she's done. And I think we see that from a very, very young age. I mean, one of the things that was fascinating, I read over 1,000 interviews and just people writing about Britney. One thing I think maybe 2 or 3 times you see her bust out. And when I mean like swear or flip off the cameras, it's so rare. Like, I think she is intrinsically a very well-behaved, kind person. Or she's just so been groomed to be that way. It was crazy, because if I was under that pressure, girl, I'd be effing and blinding every which way, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, but I think that also comes from her just wanting to succeed at all costs, you know?
Mm. It's a massively pressurized industry. Mm. And the thing is, when you start so young as well, she's never really known anything else, has she?
No. I mean, people always ask me, like, what do you hope now happens for Britney? And you know what? I mean, I have no idea how old you are, but 27 to 40? I mean, 27, I was cray-cray, you know? I'm still crazy now, don't get me wrong, girl, but 27 to 40, like, that's like a lifetime, and that's how long she's been in this conservatorship. And what I hope Britney gets to do is get to know who she is as a person, as a woman, as a human, away from the spotlight, away from the fame, away from the conservatorship, away from all this nuttiness, because she has been, she's been performing this narrative of Britney Spears since she was a child. So who is she underneath all of that gloss and all of that marketing stuff? You know, that's what I hope gets to happen to Britney next.
Yeah, who's the real person behind the famous name?
Yeah, and like, does she even know who that is? I think that that's really an important part to this.
And she turns 40 next month, I believe.
Yeah, she does. Can you believe it? December 2nd, the big 4-0.
She still looks good. 4-0
is the new 30. She does still look good, girl. You know, you hope she would with that kind of money and team behind her. But yeah, she looks fantastic. The body is disgusting. I'm just like, I hate you. But, you know, that's just another thing. It's like one of the things I talk about in the book is the way that even me just saying that right there, it's like we feel like we have possession over Brittany in a lot of ways. And it's funny how even after writing the book, I still feel that. Like, I feel like I can comment on Brittany's body or Brittany's persona and judge myself and against that, which I think that's why we're so fascinated by her, because we've all, even if you were an adult, like I was an adult when Brittany came on the scene, she is been woven into the cultural material that we all live in.
Yeah.
And in a way that I think is quite unique to her.
And she is popular, without a doubt. I mean, all this conservatorship, when this all came out, there was a powerful hashtag Free Britney campaign, wasn't there?
Absolutely. And, you know, what's been interesting for me is getting to know some of the Free Britney advocates. And it's interesting because when I first started talking to them, I was like, why don't you guys go do something else? Go do something else. Like, why is this so, why is this so important to you? But what became really, really evident the more I interviewed them and the more I questioned them is I think that a lot of people feel quite lost right now. We're living in a strange time. You know, like traditional religion that people may have turned to in the past to believe in or find solace in, pop music and celebrity is where people find that same sort of comfort now. And Britney is that figure for a lot of people. And I think Free Britney, the movement provided that, you know, that's when it got so much momentum, is because Britney has filled that void for a lot of people. So people felt they had to like give back to that person or that entity that had provided them comfort through so many different times in their life. So I found that from like a sociological nerd, like I have a PhD in fan studies. I found that like the nerd in me was like, it's like I was like Jane Goodall watching the Apes, like, ooh, this is so interesting. But it really did speak to kind of outsiders uniting to really create some change, you know, and how we can make change. I think that was frustrating to me. I'm like, why can't we unite to make change on other things besides Britney?
Yes, indeed, indeed. On that point, on the psychological side, it worries me that things haven't changed. I mean, obviously, it was the 90s that she started. I think it was the 90s. Mm-hmm. I hope there's no other young talent coming through now that is going to end up the same way. I mean, do you think things have changed since then?
No. I mean, do you know what's interesting, Selena? I was just on the BBC this morning. They're asking about the Brit Awards, and the Brit Awards, as you probably know, have now gone gender neutral with the gongs. Mm. And it's one of those things where there, I think there's a lot of talk. It's like the surface layer has changed. You know, like we can now talk about Me Too. We can talk about things that have happened to us, and there's a new vocabulary to use. But if you start cracking beneath that surface, if this was like a lake, let's say, that surface has changed, but beneath it, it's still a stew of misogyny and not niceness, as how I would put it. So, I mean, I guess we can say, yes, there's progress in that we can talk about it openly. You and I are even having this discussion right now. That's progress. But is there deep change? That part, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've experienced... I'm not one to throw around the M word misogyny, but the kind of misogyny I've experienced as an author and as an academic, I'm just like, what is going on here? Like it's absolutely mind blowing. So I don't know. Like I want to say it's changed. I think all we can do is slowly chip away at it and have as many real, honest, and, you know, brutal conversations as we can.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's very important. And have you met her? Have you met Brittany?
I did a long time ago, back in the, like, probably in the early 2000s. And it was funny because we'd gone to a show and it was probably like in the fifth or sixth row. And what I remember is looking at the screen and music was coming out and words were coming out from this, you know, the speakers, the stage, but her mouth was not moving.
Mm.
And I was really disappointed by that. I was like, oh, that's so lame. And I thought she was a very sweet girl. But, you know, there was inside of me, there was, I don't know, like at the time I was obsessed with Backstreet Boys, to be totally honest with you. I was a Nick Carter girl, sis. So, I mean, I thought Britney was nice. I didn't really think anything of her. I became interested in writing about Britney. I was finishing a book on Nico, who's famously from the Velvet Underground.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, so this is like last November. And I was like, I really got into the idea of like people that there's this whole mythology around, but we don't really know. And that is what, that's what I found fascinating about Britney, is someone that we feel like we know so well. There was not one book that had been written by an academic or had really delved into anything beyond the tabloid. And that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted there to be a thoughtful, scholarly book to capture the Britney story. And that's what I set out to do. So, I mean, hopefully I would love to meet her. I would love to get her, hand her the book and be like, I am someone that's not a tabloid journalist. I'm not even like a journalist. I'm an author and I have so much respect for you. Please read this book and know that I, you know, someone that cares and gets you has taken the time to do this.
Yeah. And she'd probably really appreciate that, I'm sure.
Let's send her a link to this conversation, girl.
Let's do that. We'll tweet
I'll
her.
Take you. Yeah, I was going to say, you only if you'll be my date to that meeting. You'll have to come
definitely
with me, Selena.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Definitely. Well, our listeners can find out more by buying the book. It's called Being Britney, Pieces of a Modern Icon, and it's by Jennifer Otter Bickerdike. And of course, we're selling it on our website, which is tre.radio. We wish Britney well, and we wish you well, Jennifer. What's your website if people want to find out more about your work?
It's just Jennifer Otter Bickerdike, or I'm on Instagram at the exact same name.
Going to follow you now. Thank you so much. We made it, Jennifer. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much. You're an absolute doll. Please have me back sometime.
Will do, anytime. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.